Hi, thank you all for being here. I know it's cold and we don't know when the rain is going to come back again. We have something for you a little bit later. But first I wanted to share with you all three reasons we can find hope in the story of Christmas. It's personal. I bring you news of great joy. It's positive. I bring good news of great joy. It's popular. That will be to all the people. We read from Luke chapter 2, starting in one verse, in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus in human form. They are turned away because there's no room for them in the inn. That was indicative of the treatment Christ would receive throughout his public ministry. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 53, we read, "They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives." We know that he went there to pray. Everybody went to their own homes, and Jesus spent the night in the open air. Jesus did not have his own home to return to. He had friends with homes he visited, like Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus in Bethany, but he did not have a home. In Matthew 8:20, somebody asked Jesus where he was staying. Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The Son of Man was a phrase that Jesus used to identify himself, as did some of the prophets. No room for him in the inn. But as he was nearing his time of arrest and his crucifixion, he also said in John 14:22, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Humanity did not have room for Jesus, but Jesus has rooms for humanity. This is an interesting contrast. He also experienced hunger. As he started his public ministry, he is driven by the Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness, for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted. He experienced hunger. He was tempted. Jesus was born in a stable. We romanticize the nativity scene, but he was born in a dirty, smelly place with straw and animal feces. It is an unsanitary environment. God incarnate was born on a cold dirt floor. Now this enhances the Christmas story when we realize what God had to go through for us. We are even more amazed at what God had to overcome to be our Savior. God became an embryo, a fetus, an infant, deity in diapers. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, was a helpless baby. Augustine said that he was unspeakably wise, yet he is wisely speechless. He's the Word without a word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and then later on, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. C.H. Spurgeon said, infinite, yet an infant, eternal, yet born of a woman, supporting the universe, yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms, King of angels, and yet the reputed son of Joseph, heir of all things, and yet the carpenter's son. My God became a helpless baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. They were rags, and yet Jesus could have been born in the finest mansion to parents of pedigree. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. He's not talking about physical wealth, but spiritual riches. So God has come into the world. Who should be the first to know? God has come to earth. Who does the announcement come to first? Does God send an angel to Caesar Augustus, Emperor of Rome? Did the announcement come to the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees? God makes this earth-shaking announcement to shepherds. A shepherd was to be at the bottom rung of the ladder. The shepherd's testimony wasn't even allowed in a court because it was assumed that they were liars. They were not able to observe the Jewish ceremonial hand washing. They were unclean. They felt right at home when they heard that a baby was born in a manger. Shepherds had their babies born out in the open air. The announcement was made by angels to shepherds watching over their flocks at night. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, other angels, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. All of Israel was living in frightening times. There was a fear of the future, and they wondered if the Messiah would ever come. It was 400 years of silence where God wasn't speaking through his prophets, where God wasn't inspiring men to write any more of the Bible. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. We are waiting for the Messiah to come again. Now the angels say, Don't be afraid. The Messiah has come. When the angels appeared, they often said, Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't freak out. I have a message for you. God doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to love. He wants us to show love. In 1 John 4:18, John says, Love, there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out all fear. God wants us to show love. We're here today because we love you, and we want to show our love for you. The message of the Christmas story is fear not and have joy, because it's personal. I bring you news of great joy. It's positive. I bring good news of great joy. It's popular. It's to all the people. You won't find joy in Christmas itself, but you will find joy in Jesus Christ who has come to us. Why is it good news? Because we have a Savior, and that reminds us that we need to be saved. We're like a person in a burning building. We need someone to save us. We don't need an advisor. We need a Savior. We need someone who will rescue us from the situation we are in. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are saved from future judgment, saved from hell, saved from our personal sin, saved from the power of the devil. A Savior has come, and the promise is when we die, we will be in God's presence in heaven. We have a Christ. We read again in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ means anointed one. Another word would be Messiah. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise to send his Son as the Messiah, and God keeps his promises. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. we will never be alone. Romans 8:28 promises us He'll cause all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. He promises that when we die, we will be reunited with loved ones who have gone on to heaven before us. We have a Savior. We have a Christ. We have a Lord. What does that mean? It means I am no longer in control of my life. He is now calling the shots. He is now the boss of me. He will direct me in the way I shall go, and He will protect me in that way as well. The Christian is indestructible until God is done with us. He will protect us, and He will guide us in that way as well. He is Lord. But this is only for believers. How does one become a Christian? Jesus was born to die that we might live. The wise men, they brought those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, because He's a king. Frankincense, because He would be our high priest. Myrrh, because this child would die for the sin of the world. Jesus died for our sins on the cross at Calvary. God said, "Your sin and iniquity I will remember no more." But you have to admit you are a sinner. If you have ever lied, if you've ever cheated someone, stolen from somebody, if you've even had a thought in your heart and somebody wrongs you, "Oh, I want to kill that person," you've sinned. You have to turn from it and ask for forgiveness. Ask Christ to come into your life. We're here today because we wanted to give you some encouragement, but we also wanted to give you some things that might help this winter season, this Christmas season that we're in, a little more bearable. We know you're cold. We have these backpacks, and in the backpack we have warm clothing, a sweat outfit with a sweatshirt and sweatpants. We have a cap to go over your head. We have gloves. We have socks. We have blankets for you to help you keep warm. We also have in the Sunday school kids, they made cards with little messages about for you, and somebody even created took a poem and put a little candy cane in there and wrapped it up like a scroll, and it's the night before Jesus. And we also have this green coupon. It's a meal coupon, and you can take this coupon and redeem it at the barrel over here and get a hot meal and a bottle of water. We want you to have these things because we love you. We want you to know the true meaning of Christmas. And this is why we've shared the gospel with you. God doesn't want you to be like this. God wants something better for you. He wants a relationship with you. One of the ways that we show a relationship, a friendship, is we'll often depict a group of people eating together. And in the Bible, the last book of the Bible ends with the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's the party to beat all parties. And it's a relationship. And Revelation 3:20, Jesus is talking and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." We're going to have people that are going to give these backpacks out, and we're going to have people that would love to talk with you and pray with you after we sing this Christmas carol. Thank you.